राध माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजना यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजना यमुना तीरा वनचारी यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राध माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राध माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजना यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजना यमुना तीरा वनचारी यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राध माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राध माधव कुंज बिहारी जय विश्वपाद वरुण सुपरिवार श्रीमद एसी भक्त वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की नामाचार्य हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्रीद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौरभक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधारस बिहारी ललिता विशाखा की श्री श्री सीताराम हनुमान की श्री श्री गौर निथाय की श्रील प्रभुपाद की ऑल ग्लोरिस्ट असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरिस्ट असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरिस्ट असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ గౌరాంగ ఓం అజ్ఞాన తిమిరందస్య జ్ఞానంజన శలాకయ చక్షురుణ్మిలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసది గౌరభక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే Today, auspicious disappearance day of Sri Gadadhar Pandit and Sri Sachidananda Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So we will not have Bhagavatam class. And, I will just speak about Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Srila Sachidananda Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was a very great personality. Nitya Siddha Mahabhagavat appeared in our lineage of Parampara, Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Like, it looks like if we read his autobiography or some biography, it was cautioned that we should not misunderstand by apparent his external activities, sometimes which he exhibited, like being confused or attracted to some impersonalist philosophy, or a student of Western philosophies and all that. So this point we should always remember, that, like, just like Srila Prabhupada wrote he replied in a letter to one of his disciples, that just like Arjuna was a constant companion to Krishna, but still before the battle began, he manifested the pastime of being a confused man or getting illusioned, and for the purpose of benefiting all the humanity. In the same way, Sri Sachidananda Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was a Nitya Siddha, and he later on in his writings we would understand that he disclosed that he is a Kamala Manjari, servant of Ananga Manjari, who is very close associate of Astasakhis and all that. So this we should always keep it in our mind, that he is a Nitya Siddha Mahabhagavat. So if you read his biography, we understand that he had undergone lot of trials and tribulations, like our own Srila Prabhupada, throughout his life. Sometimes even he was very poverty stricken also, struggling for money, for education and all that. But these are all pastimes, the mercy of Lord Krishna manifested, and he had some vision, Lord, to show to the people, So the followers of Srila Prabhupada, we all should keep it in mind, Sometimes some devotees, I know some devotees who criticized Bhaktivinoda Thakur for his activities, and they had to leave the movement because it was not tolerated like that. There was one pastime comes, during Jagannath Puri, when he was exhibiting, he just started preaching, and then one Babaji, Raghunath Das Babaji, he was actually a perfect Siddha Purusha. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he started preaching, he started attracting many devotees. He attracted. Then this Raghunath Das Babaji, he was telling his followers and other people that this Kedarnath, Kedar Babu, he was not initiated, and he was not wearing Kanti Mala, and he was not wearing Vaishnava Tilak. So nobody should go to his lectures, nobody should follow him. Like that he was preaching among his followers and people in Jagannath Puri. So later on he became stricken with very deadly disease, and he was about to die. Then Lord Jagannath came in his dream and told him that you are committing great offense against the, at the feet of a great Vaishnava. Go and beg forgiveness from him, then you will become all right. Then the Raghunath Das Babaji, he came to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That time he was known as Kedarnath Datta. He was a deputy magistrate that time. Then he fell at the feet of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and begged forgiveness. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur told him, what do I do? How can I wear Kantimala and Tilak? You know, I am not, Mahaprabhu did not arrange any spiritual master for me. You know, I didn't have a Diksha. You know, that time that was the system, you know, before initiation. They were not wearing Kantimala and Tilak. So, it was, then later on Bhaktivinoda Thakur forgave him. Then he personally took him to, then treated him with some medicine and then he became all right. So like that, we have to be very, very careful when we read the biography of great Vaishnavas. You know, we should always keep this in mind that, you know, they are great acharyas, nitya siddhas. Then from that viewpoint, we have to understand their activities. Then we are on a safe ground. If you misunderstand that they are actually suffering because of their karma and all that, then it will be doom for us. We will be doomed like that. So with this caution, I want to start this. Sri Sachidananda Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared in the 19th century. The situation was like when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in Navadvip, you know, in Nadia district. So that time the situation was like people were attracted to materialism so much and attracted to worship of demigods so much that, you know, people, they were not at all interested in Krishna consciousness. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared and established the Sankirtan movement. So that is only 500 years back. By the time it is 19th century, India was in a very critical situation where the teachings of Lord Chaitanya almost disappeared. Later on, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that he had to make a very strong endeavor for 8 years to get a copy of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. 8 years he had to struggle to get a... No, Raghunath Das Babaji. So, that was the situation, you know, that time. Then, that time only, then Lord Chaitanya's movement almost disappeared. And then there are only few devotees who are actually reclusive renunciants who are privately practicing Krishna consciousness, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And they are having all the literatures of Goswamis and all. And it was not widely, you know, published or anything. And then they were actually like that. That was the situation. And the other side, there were so many apasampradayas, you know, Atibari and Baula and Kartavaja, and so many, these 14 types of Sahajiya sects, they have come along and they completely distorted Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. And in all the villages in Orissa and Bengal and all, they were so popular that people started following them, you know, all these apasampradayak people. That is on one side. On the other side, just at the time only British has conquered India and they established their rule. And their single most purpose was to destroy Vedic culture in India. Right? I think that Lord Macaulay or somebody, he wrote that in India, they are so cultured, these people, they are so cultured and all, that you won't find one person, you know, indulging in illicit sex, gambling or intoxication. And you leave the door open and nobody will go and steal anything. You know? So if you really want to conquer India, then we have to destroy their dependence on Vedas and prove them that these Vedas are wrong, your Sanskrit literatures are wrong, you know. And so they made a systematic campaign to discredit our Vedic culture and our beliefs and our education, and systematically propagated, you know, that whatever education you are receiving, it is a laughable stock even for a girl in British. Whatever you are learning, like that. And then they wrote about Krishna and all that, you know, he is a debauchee god, you know, we should not all that stuff like that, you know. So systematically they have discredited, and they established all these schools, you know, to educate Indians in their education, you know, and in Christian beliefs and all that. And because of this British education, there are so many Indian intellectuals, you know, there are so many Indian intellectuals who believed that all these Vedas and all their mythology, you know, like even this I think Bankim Chandra Chatterjee, he wrote a book by name Shri Krishna Charita, and he was also a product of you know, British education. So he believed that, you know, all Krishna and his character and all is all mythological, you know. So this because he is bred in, you know, Western philosophy and their culture and all, because of education in British schools and all. So he wrote a book, you know, based on his misunderstandings. So at that time, Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was a very respectful gentleman and literary figure. He was a great writer and all. So when Bankim Chandra Chatterjee showed the book to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he read it very thoroughly, and then he chastised Bankim Chandra Chatterjee, and then he explained to him how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is transcendental and is beyond these three modes of nature, and all his activities are, you know, transcendental, and his pastimes. So like that he explained to him nicely, and then he convinced him to change the tone of the book. And when Bankim Chandra Chatterjee published that book, Krishna Charita, there was a lot of criticism among the Indian intellectuals and British intellectuals that he is propagating beliefs in old systems like that. So that was the situation when Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared. So Srila Prabhupada credited that he almost first credit the goes to Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthplace he, you know, he established with thorough proof. And next thing that, you know, he revived and re-established Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, you know. So he was actually father of modern, revival of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement in 19th century. Then he wrote, Sri Prabhupada glorified, you know, Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that he published 100 books, and he was a grihastha, and he was a government officer of great responsibilities, and he had 10 children. That means, you know, and then you can imagine, he produced a son like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, my spiritual master. That means how what a perfect grihastha he was. In spite of that, he wrote 100 books, you know, and then he established these Namahattas and spread Krishna consciousness all over India, you know. Then Prabhupada said, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a great Vaishnava. If he wanted, he could have, spread Krishna consciousness in the Western world also. But he left it to us, you know, so that we can take credit of spreading Krishna consciousness, of helping Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur, spread, Krishna consciousness all over the world. Right? And then in 1896, during Prabhupada's birth year, he wrote a book, Sri Chaitanya, His Life and Percepts. And later on, then he sent to the West, you know. Then there McGill University in Canada, Montreal somewhere, that some of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, they found it in 1969, like that. So that was a very significant point, that Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared in such a situation where it is completely like Vaishnava. That time, during his time, Vaishnava means is a gali. Like, nobody would like to be known as a Vaishnava, because they misbehaved and they have done so many bad activities that even common people also have started to dislike Vaishnavas because of all the Sahajiyas who take it lightly. So that was a very great task, you know, for Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, you know, to accomplish. And then, so he has done it, you know, like that. So he appeared September 2nd, 1838, on Sunday, in the ancient village of Bir Nagar, located in the Nadia district of West Bengal. He was the third son of Ananda Chandra Datta and Jagat Mohini Devi. It can be said that he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, because both his maternal side and paternal side, they are landlords, jamindars. They are very rich people. Like that. So, it was said that Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur's father, Ananda Chandra Datta, he was a very handsome person. And like Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, that nobody during his time, he was so handsome like that. Ananda Chandra Datta. He was a very handsome person. And then he belonged to Kayastha family. You know. And then they were related to even Narottam Das Thakur's family. You know. The same lineage that they came. Like Narottam Das Thakur. Like Raja Krishnachandra Datta, the father of great Vaishnava Acharya Narottam Das Thakur, and a great devotee of Lord Nityananda, who often received that Lord in his home. So Kedarnath was thus later called the seventh son of Raja Krishnananda. So like that, there is a great family lineage was there. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that then before that he had a brother, Anand Chandra Datta, he had one son. Then after that, then he had one more, two elder brothers he had, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And it was said that of all the brothers, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he was a boy, he was considered very ugly. And his brothers have died very early, so his mother was very happy. Let it be like that, you know. Najar nahi lagega, you know. Like, for, you know, so that he will live long, you know. And then let him be like that. So his mother was also thinking like that. So, there was some problem in his father's family. Because his father's property, it was occupied by his main servant. So, his father had gone to Choti Govindapur in Orissa. So, his father had to go, and then they filed a suit against that man. And his father had to go there and fight the case. So, because of that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was born in his maternal grandfather's house in Ulanagar, Ulagram, you know. It's otherwise known as Birgram. So at the time of his birth, an astrologer sat marking the time with an hourglass, and an English account of the time was also kept. Kedarnath was born in the time of the British East India Company's ascendancy. So Kedarnath's maternal grandfather, an aristocratic landlord, he was a very fabulously wealthy person. My maternal grandfather had incomparable wealth and a great grand estate. There were hundreds of male and female servants. When I was born, I was a good weight. I had an older brother, Abhay Kali, who had previously died, and a second brother, Kali Prasanna, was still living. I was my father's third son. It is said that of all my brothers, I was a little ugly. But my mother said, "Very well, let this boy be the servant of the rest. Just let him live a long time." So once, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a small boy, he was just 2 years old, one crow came. So at the time only, the poet in him, you know, started to rise. He wrote a small couplet saying that, "Kak kal jinger fool, baba aseta nade baso." He wrote a just small two-year-old boy. He spoke out this small couplet. "O crow, kal flower of the jinga smash. Father comes, sit aside. Something like that he wrote. So the maidservant told, as he spoke, the crow changed his position. Some people nearby noticed this and said, oh, your father must certainly be coming soon. His father arrived a few days later. So like that, in his childhood, he was very grandly brought up because his maternal grandfather was a very rich man. On his veranda only there was a small school started. Then he started being educated. So later on, that teacher went away, and then there is one more teacher they brought, and they opened a small school. And then that teacher, he was very cruel one. You know, so when whoever would come late, you know, the first person would be beaten once, and second boy should be second person will be given 2 lashes, and third person like that. He had a very strong punishing system, you know, like that. So then sometimes the boys they used to steal for their teacher. Once Bhaktivinoda Thakur stole one big jackfruit and brought it to the teacher, and his mother came to know, and she became very angry with Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Then later on, his father told, don't steal, you know, big things, you know. Then some of the boys, they used to steal some tobacco and some fruits, small fruits, and all, give it to the teacher, like that. So once his brother Kali Prasanna, when he came to know, he took a huge, you know, iron rod. He came to beat up this teacher. And that time Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was just 5-6 year old boy. He caught hold of his brother and taken away that rod. And then when the teacher came to know, saw this, he ran away. You know, so later on, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then he used to sit with these gatekeepers, because he had so many hundreds of male servants and female servants. Then he used to sit with the gatekeeper, and these gatekeepers, they used to tell stories from Ramayana and Mahabharata to the small boy, and he would listen with great relish the stories of Ramayana and Mahabharata. And later on, there was one officer Naf, who was very old but still used to carry his lantern, stick, club and sword. Officer Naf was a much trusted guard of Kedarnatha's grandfather. He was fearless and a former dacoit. You know? So somehow by mistake, he killed his own guru. In some sword, he was, you know, with his sword. And because of that guru aparad, he was very afraid. And then somebody told him, you chant Rama's name. So that man, he was constantly chanting the names of Rama, 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 like that. Right? So, this officer Naf used to tell many stories to the small boy, Kedarnath. But he was not understanding so many stories, but he was very attracted to him, because he was constantly chanting the name of Lord Ram. Then, this village, it was so, nobody would go, you know, nobody would go without food in that village. Everybody was happily, nobody was working, it seems. If somebody wanted something, they would come to his grandfather and he would give them. So like that. Almost everybody had one could get by with very little in those days. Everybody was cheerful. People used to sing, make music and tell entertaining stories. You could not count how many jolly bellied brahmanas there were. Simply eat. Then almost everybody had a good wit, could speak sweetly and was skilled in making judgments. Groups of people could be heard at all times making music and singing, playing dice and chess. If anybody was in need, they could go to home of Mushtaupi Mahasaya, his grandfather, and get whatever they required without any difficulty. Medicine, oil and ghee were plentiful. The good people of Ulagram did not know the need of finding work in order to eat. What a happy time it was. You know, nowadays, like, you know, that time life means, you know, this, you know, playing music, attending, you know, harikathas, you know, entertainment, and playing, you know, chess and all that, you know, like that. They were very happy. Nobody was going to the factories and, you know, offices and work hard, travel in, you know, trains. Like other day we were going to Mira Road at 8:30 in the morning. While those the traffic from the side of Mira Road to Bombay side, it was so jam packed, you know, early in the morning, 8:30, and people, you know, they have to sit in the cars, you know, and they get frustrated and go to the work, you know, then so many targets to meet, you know, people are under so much tension nowadays. But previously it was not like that, you know, people were living very happily. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur, what it like, you know, and whatever they required without, medicine, oil and ghee were plentiful. The good people of Ulagram did not know the need of finding work in order to eat. You know, what a happy time it was, right? So later on, there is the king of Krishnanagar, he established a school in Krishnanagar, and then they were teaching English also. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his brother, they were kept there in that Krishnanagar, little far away from Ulagram. And then in between he was writing that there was one maid servant, Sibu. She was very nurse, you know, she was because his mother was a very rich woman, she was unable to take care of the children properly because she became very tired and all. So they put one maid servant especially for Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and then she would take care of him so nicely, and then she would carry him to the school and all that, like that. So she was attending to him. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was so, became so proficient in English language, you know, even the English professors, you know, they wrote, they were very appreciative. Even his former English teacher, the Frenchman, came for a visit and praised him greatly. Finally, Kedarnanda's father put a stop to his being praised in the presence of others. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur observed, "Hearing all this praise, my pride became much inflated. In my mind, my reading and writing very soon amounted to nothing." So he became very little proud, that boy, and then he stopped studying and all. You know, so then he was brought back to village again. Later on, there was one so there was a he is in garden. One day when the boy went to eat star apples in the garden near the parlor of his grandfather, he became frightened due to fear of ghost. You know, that was reputed to stay there. Vachaspati Mahasaya described the forms of ghosts to him in some detail, and the boy became more frightened. However, he also had a strong desire to eat star apples. He then spoke to the mother of a friend who was reputed to be expert in the occult, and she told him that there is no fear of ghosts as long as one chants the name of Rama. You know, so he had a great desire to eat apples. Then he was very afraid of, you know, this ghosts and all. So one of his friend's mother told, "Don't worry, you chant Rama's names and ghosts will not bother you." So he was chanting Rama's names and plucking the apples and was eating. So later on, heard that a ghost lived in the Homa building. Uttering the name of Rama, I chased the ghost away. So later on, also Prabhupada, you know, once there was a big house in London, and then they were, you know, very afraid to go to that building. Srila Prabhupada sent his disciples, told them to chant Hare Krishna loudly, and the ghost left that building. Right? So, since then, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur got accustomed to chanting Rama's names. Like that. So then, at one time I thought, Becoming more inquisitive, he questioned a Mohammedan god who gave him a very imaginative explanation of the creation, but confirmed that holy name of God is the remedy for ghosts. There were many thoughts in my mind. At one time I thought that this world was false, that the Lord alone was real, and that I appeared to be the Lord. His uncle's father was an eclectic worshipper who in the morning would first study Vedanta, then recite the Kalma like a Muslim, and then pray to God as Christian. He gave Kedarnath the idea that God alone was the Supreme Person, that the Vedas know him as Brahman, the Quran as Allah, and that in the Bible he is called God. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur states, I believed him, but later he remarked, I was greatly confused. I was young and sensitive and had many questions. Seeing all this difference of opinion, my mind was not happy. His uncle Parashurama told him, Oh Baba, everything comes from nature and that is God. There is nothing separate from nature. Like that, he was getting conflicting ideas, like that, suggestions. Because of all the conclusions were uncertain, I never gave up the name of Rama, which warded off the fear of ghosts. Kedarnath was 11 years old at the time of his father's death. It was a very disturbing time for him, with uncertainty in all directions. He continued his studies, but his heart was not in it. He began to secretly drink castor oil to make himself sick, so that he wouldn't have to go to the school. And he would often get fevers. He continued to think in a very philosophical way and wrote a poem called Ula Chandi Mahatmya about the deity of Ula, a book which according to the Thakura no longer exists. Said that at the age of 11 years old only, he wrote a book like that. So when he was 12 years old, he was married. So what is the age of the girl? 5 years. Like somebody was saying, I think Srila Prabhupada only was saying that during that time, the both boy and girl, they would fall asleep, because usually Indian marriages they would take place in the middle of the night, you know. So muhurtas, so both boy and girl, they would fall asleep, you know, during the marriage, and they would have to wake them up to tie the knot. There was a pleasure boat, a wedding palanquin, decorations, lights, English music, etc. The marriage took place between a 12-year-old boy and 5-year-old girl, and was exactly like a child's doll marriage. You know, drinking Ganges water and milk, I arrived at the house of my father-in-law with a great festive crowd. The reception was huge. Many gentlemen of the Teli caste, dressed in bright and varied clothes and wearing a jari outfits, came to the reception. Even though I was of such a tender age, I was able to understand that except for the Khayastas and the Brahmanas, the good clothes and ornaments did not look well on others. Two reciters of genealogies read out the family histories of the Mitra and Datta families, and the marriage was gradually concluded. I said that I was not able to stay alone in the house of my father-in-law. Kedarnatha's nanny came to stay in his father-in-law's house to care for him, and he was accepted there just like a family member. His maternal grandfather subsequently died at Bhavanipura, where he had gone after his fortunes had utterly failed. So meanwhile, what happened is, maternal uncle died, and after that, everybody looted his grandfather's fortunes. You know, that's how it was previously. Somebody was generous means everybody would come and take, and finally they would end up as beggars. So like that, his maternal grandfather lost all the properties and everything they lost. That's why his mother said, you know, maybe fortunes will change. Let us get this boy married. Like that. That's how, like that. So later on, lot of things happened. Then he was struggling very hard to even study and all that, you know. And somehow he was struggled to finish his education. So Kedarnath developed a talent as a philosopher and a debater. In the year 1856, he enrolled in the Hindu school, or what later came to be known as the University of Calcutta. Kedarnath became the student of Ishwarchandra Vidyasagar, a reputed scholar and the author of Samagra Vyakarana Kaumudi. In that year, a university was started and classes were held in the Presidency College. The senior classes of the Hindu school were held in the West Wing. Sanskrit College was in the middle section, and junior classes were held in the East Wing. Kedarnath began to write poetry for Hivach, for which he was much respected and praised, and which gradually came to the attention of the principal. An Englishman named George Thompson, a former member of parliament, taught him the art of oratory. Mr. Thompson told Kedarnath that he used to deliver lectures to the cornfields on his way from his house to the parliament. Pretending that the plants were the members of the parliament, he would speak freely to them, and in this way had become an expert and pleasing speaker. Kedarnath also pursued his studies privately by spending time at libraries like Metcalf Hall and being tutored by the Christian missionaries. Kedarnath's friend, Sir Taraknath Palit, who bore the expenses for establishing the science college, invited him to speak at the British Indian Society, which many pro-British Jamindars and Europeans attended. Kedarnath was invited to become a member, and he eventually gave a lecture there concerning the evolution of matter through the material mode of goodness. At the end of 1856, he had completed part one of the Poirot, which was an account in epic verse form of the wanderings of Porus, who fought Alexander the Great in the pre-Christian era. It was well received by his teachers. We see the continuing thread of existential questioning appearing in the pages of this epic. Like that, then he shifted to Calcutta, and then he started studies there. Then somehow or other, he got employed in British government, you know, as some clerk, and sometimes as a head teacher in Bhadrak and all that. So later on, his father, grandfather, sent him a message saying that, come here, you know, I'm not going to leave for a long time. So his grandfather was a great Vaishnava, and Choti Gram, he used to live there, and there, that's where he was worshipping, you know, Govardhan Shila and Radha Madhav, right? There is one devotee by name Fakir Mohan Prabhu comes, right? He was having these deities of Radha Madhav, right? So that there the deities of Shri Bhaktivinoda Thakur from Choti Gram. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur worshipped those Radha Madhav deities. And he was actually, that's how the Jaya Radha Madhava, he was composed based for the in glorification of those deities. You know, Jaya Radha Madhava, Kunja Bihari, so like that. So his grandfather, he was a yogi also, but he appeared to be ill, they said, but actually he was quite strong and healthy, you know. Kedarnath observed the activities and schedule of his grandfather. He kept many cows, and there was plenty of yogurt and ghee always. He also had many animals, peacocks, swans, etc. That elderly gentleman ate nothing at all during the day. At midnight, he would eat kachoris full of chilies or milk cooked with date sugar. He wore the saffron cloth of a sannyasi. During the day, he constantly chanted japa. Kedarnath saw him pull cobras out of their holes and kill them with his shoes. He was very strong and did not appear to be ill. According to one of the early biographers of Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the gentleman had once been a conspicuous figure in the city of palaces and retired to a lonely place in Orissa to spend the rest of his life as an ascetic. He could predict the future and knew when he would die. So he told Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and his mother, they went for Jagannath Rath Yatra and all, Jagannath Darshan and all. Then he said, please come back day after tomorrow, I will leave the body. You know, he told Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Raja worshipped Lord Jagannath and Radha Madhav in his house. He made a horoscope for Kedarnath and predicted that he would secure a good position at the age of 27. So all this while, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was struggling to maintain his family, you know, all that. But his grandfather predicted that at the age of 27, he would get a very good position. And from there onwards, he will be well situated. Then on that day, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and all, they were watching. And his grandfather sat in Padmasana position. And he left the body through his, Brahmarandra, chanting japa, like that. So there are many details. Then he was employed as a deputy magistrate, you know, because he studied law and then he passed, you know. And then there was a competition among the British officers to get him, Kedarnath Datta. He was so efficient, and then he was so upright in his moral character and is truthful. So all the British officers, they competed among themselves to get him. I would work under them, like that. So then he was employed as a deputy magistrate in Jagannath Puri. You know, so that time, there is one Atibari sect was there. This Atibari sect, actually it was originally started by Jagannath Das Babaji. This Jagannath Das Babaji. He is an associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then later on, he left the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were following some Vaishnava principles, but they were proclaiming that God is impersonal. You know, God is impersonal. So they are known as Atibaris. You know, so they were rejected, like one of the 14, you know, sects which were rejected as Sahajiya by Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So this fellow, Baisakhi Sen, he was proclaiming himself that he is incarnation of Mahavishnu. And then there are two other guys came up saying that they are incarnation of Brahma and Shiva. And then he proclaimed himself, you know, that he is incarnation of God. Then he said, you know, he is going to do Ratha dance. You know, then he told, you know, that he told him that he proclaimed in newspapers and all that I'm going to Rasa dance, please send your wives and daughters and all that. I am God, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There you send. So all these people, they, you know, foolish people, you know, they believed and they were sending their wives and, you know, to dance with God. And it was came to be known that he was actually having, you know, illicit relations with those ladies, other men's wives. So when these husbands and brothers and all, they came to know, they were very, you know, disturbed, and they went and complained to the government of British, you know, that this guy is like doing like this. And these innocent ladies, they were actually believing, he's really God, and they came under his influence. And this man, he had many mystic powers, and he would sit in between in the middle of the fire. He would keep his head in the fire and take it out. Keep the head in the fire and take it out. You know, or sometimes through his head he would emanate fires. You know, like that. Then any man with any deadly disease would come. He would just touch them and cure them. You know, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then the British government gave the charge to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, and this man, not only he was doing that, and he was saying that I am God, and I came here to, you know, bring back India, you know, make India independent, and I will actually kill all these British officers, you know, and I will chase them away, like that. So he was proclaiming like that, right? So that time, so the British government it was disturbed, and so many complaints were coming. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, he made enquiries and all. He kept spies, you know. Then he like that. Then he took a lot of people along with him. You know, he went there to meet him in the jungle. He was that time. He was staying in the jungle, like that. he also revealed that he knew. Then he said, after saying this, oh, I went at night to the jungle and spoke at length with Mahavishnu, and he revealed his vow to destroy the English Raj. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was saying. After saying this, Baisakhi Sen gave the Thakur a piece of palm leaf. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur replied, I have come to see you. Oh Babu, I know that you are a Bengali and a magistrate. Why have you come here on this dark night? So Baisakhi Sen was saying. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur told him, I have come to see you. Oh, that being the case, please sit down and hear my teachings. I am Mahavishnu. Arising from the ocean of milk, I have come to this place. And very soon I will destroy all the Europeans, including the King of England. I have proclaimed this everywhere. After saying this, Baisakhi Sen gave the Thakur a piece of palm leaf that had everything that he had just said written on it, a poetic form. Exhibiting his mystic powers, the yogi began to describe everything about Thakur Bhakti Vinod in detail, mentioning his name, mission, etc., and wanted him not to try to interfere with him. He also revealed that he knew fully well about the men that Thakura brought with him and were hiding among the trees. The Thakura was not impressed and he asked the yogi, if you are Mahavishnu, then why are you staying in this jungle, not at Puri where Jagannath Deva resides? And this man haughtily replied, I am personally the Supreme Lord, there is no God at Puri. That so-called God Jagannath is merely a big slab of wood. Sri Chaitanya was my beloved devotee and I will again make India the kingdom of the Hindus. He was saying Mahaprabhu is his devotee. For this reason I am living in the jungle. I know that you are an excellent court judge and a good devotee as well. When the Hindu kingdom is again established, I will give you a very good position in the government. I will make you the governor of the entire state of Orissa. The yogi, in order to impress Bhaktivinoda Thakur with his power, and then called him before many people with incurable diseases and in a moment made them well. The Bhaktivinoda gravely replied, the tiny living entity can never become God. Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, Shishupal, Dantavakra and many others who came under the influence of this arrogant mentality were all destroyed. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very convinced that this man, he is an imposter, and he started preaching to him that, you know, how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and all that. But this man, he would not listen. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then the Thakura gave the order to arrest the yogi, and seeing his man fearful, he personally led them, you know, bringing with him two police inspectors, a police superintendent and 100 armed policemen. You know, it's a big mission. They arrived in the early morning hours. A sacrificial fire was burning in front of the Baisakhi Sen and was well over 1,000 followers were present. The Thakur and the policeman appeared on the perimeter of the crowd. When the yogi's followers saw the red turbaned policemen armed with rifles and bayonets, many of them began to flee. News was quickly spread to the villages that the government has sent an army to arrest the avatar of God. Baisakhi Sen sat observing all of them calmly. Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur approached him. There was a short silence. Babu, what is the meaning of all this? Asked the yogi with apparent serenity. They have come to take you. It is the government's order that you should be brought to Puri. The yogi replied harshly, who is this governor? I am king. For I am the Supreme Godhead and master of all the universes. I bow down before no one. Let us see who is able to take me away from this place. If you do not go peacefully, we will be obliged to take you away by force, replied Thakura sternly. Becoming enraged, the yogi cried, I order you to immediately leave this place. Let us see who has the power to take me. Saying this, yogi shook his head violently, whereupon hundreds and hundreds of fiery flames like burning snakes began to fly out of his matted locks. The yogi's eyes then became bright red and sparks of fire shot out of them. Seeing this, the police was terrified and fell back apace. You know, Baisakhi Sen declared the Thakura, you may show us as much magic as you like, and we certainly will not forget it. However, you are an offender at the feet of Supreme Lord. Although you are an insignificant living being, you are proclaiming yourself to be God, but actually you despise God. Further, you are a rebel. You must go to Puri, where you will be judged. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur brought one bullock cart, you know. Then some of the policemen and all, they captured him. And they tied his hands and tied him to the bullock cart. You know, and they took him to the police station and they put him in the jail. So when Bhaktivinoda Thakur went to visit him, he said, you know, I will show you what I am. You know, I will destroy your whole family. Like that. So when Bhaktivinoda Thakur went back to home, that day, that Kadambari, his daughter, he fell very sick and continuously passing motion and vomit and all that. And then his wife, Bhagavati Devi, she is also a very great Vaishnavi. And then she told Bhaktivinoda Thakur, very anxious for the safety of the children, and she pleaded with her husband to let Vaisakhi Sen go before he destroyed their whole family. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur replied, yes, let us all die. The Thakura replied, but this rascal must be punished. Right? All over the Puri there were disturbances, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in autobiography. At that time the Puri school had a fire and all of the people suspected him. Also at the time Kadur, a nickname of Kadambini, came down with fever. Vaisakhi Sen, by his practice of yoga, had by some means attained yogic powers, and I obtained a lot of evidence against him. For 21 days he did not eat or drink even a drop of water. But he did not show any weakness and gave unfailing cures to many people. On the 7th day of the trial, when the court rose to recess, Vaisakhi Sen stood up and screamed violently at the Thakura, did you see what great calamity occurred at your house other day? Still you are not coming to your senses. When you will not be able to recognize me as the Supreme Lord, the final day judge of my judgment will be your death. What is the punishment for one who disrespects an avatara? How death sits on the seat of judgment and gives out his commands, I will see. So like that. So when Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur late, he arrived in the day, he took off his coat clothes and all of a sudden felt a sharp pain on the right side of his chest. And the pain, you know, started to increase, and the whole night he was suffering. Then he was thinking, how will I write my judgment, you know, like that. Then by 10 o'clock in the morning, he became all right. And then he got up and wrote the judgment. Right? Then he said, Vaisakhi Sen is found guilty of political conspiracy against the national British Indian government as well as the state government of Orissa, and therefore is sentenced to 18 months of strict imprisonment and hard labor. When the huge crowd outside received the news of Vaisakhi Sen's sentence, they made a tremendous uproar and began to cry in unison, injustice, injustice. When Vaisakhi Sen was being led from the court, then district medical officer Dr. Walters, you know, he read somewhere that all these yogis, you know, they had kept their mystic powers in their hairs. He jumped on him and he made two people, you know, to catch hold of him, and he cut off his hair. You know, he shaved him off very nicely. Then as soon as the matted locks of Vaisakhi Sen were cut, he fell on the floor devoid of all power and unable to walk. The pain in the body of the Thakura vanished, and the yogi was removed from the courtroom on a stretcher. You know, when his followers saw that God had been overcome by having his hair removed, most of them deserted him. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur recalls in his biography, when his hair was cut, his followers said that he was a cheater and left him. Then later on, in 1873, he was while still in prison, he took poison and died. He was held in Puri jail for 3 months and then transferred to the central jail in Medinipur. In 1873, while still in prison, he took poison and died. After the rise of Vaisakhi Sen, there were other so-called incarnations. In Yajpur, a Brahma took over Vaisakhi Sen's former group and was similarly punished. And in Kandagiri, a Balarama made his attempt but was also swiftly thwarted. Just as Durvasa Muni had attempted to punish the pure devotee, Ambarish Maharaj but was himself punished, a similar attempt was made on Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but by the grace of the Lord, he was fully protected and victorious. that Thakur has sent a letter to the editor of Katak. A lot of things. Then he wrote many books. Then Puri Indani he started preaching actively, and then there are many people, and then there is near the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's footprints are there. There he was sitting and giving Bhagavad Katha every day. And once Raja of Puri, he came making a lot of noise. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur chastised him. When Jagannath's pastimes are being described, how you are disturbing. Then the Raja, later on, Bhaktivinoda Thakur found out that this Raja of Puri misappropriated funds of Jagannath temple up to 90,000 rupees at that time. Then the king, Thakur Bhaktivinoda learned of this and punished the king by obliging him to offer Lord Jagannath Naivedya, cooked food, 52 times per day. He punished the king. The Raja's treasury was soon depleted, and in anger, he decided to avenge himself by assassinating Thakura. And he performed a great sacrifice, fire sacrifice. He brought some tantrics, like that. And they were performing fire sacrifice with the intention of killing Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Then what happened? After the 30 days of yajna, when the last oblation of clarified butter was being poured on the, fire, Thakur Bhaktivinoda was to have died. Instead, at the very moment, the Raja's dear and only son perished. Within the palace. In recalling this period in his autobiography, Thakura mentions it indirectly. The king and the other persons connected with the temple used to commit many illegal acts. I would go there to prevent all such things, and thus I made enemies of the king and the king's man. Because I was helped by Lord Jagannath, no one was able to harm me in any way. Like that. So later on, he wrote a very great book by name Krishna Samhita. And it was very much appreciated by all the great scholars. European scholars like Reinfold Rost, a great Oriental scholar of the day and a famous linguist, he wrote from London on April 16, 1880, "A long and painful illness has prevented me from thanking you earlier for the kind present of your Sri Krishna Samhita. By representing Krishna's character and his worship in a more sublime and transcendent light than has hitherto been the custom to regard him in, you have rendered an essential service to your co-religionists, and no one would have taken more delight in your work than my departed friend Goldstucker, the sincere and most jealous advocate the Hindus ever had in Europe." He even sent this book to Emerson, Ralph Waldo Emerson, whose works he had earlier studied. Like that, he also wrote back saying like that. Then, he wrote many books. Later on, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Thakura was feeling an urgent need to take initiation from suitable guru. He relates, "I had then been searching for a suitable guru for a long time, but I did not obtain one. I was very unhappy. I was feeling very anxious, and in a dream Mahaprabhu diminished my anxiety, and he indicated to take from whom to take initiation. Then he took initiation from Vipin Bihari Goswami. He was a descendant of Sri Vamsivadan Thakur, an associate of Lord Chaitanya, who was given the charge of caring for Lord Chaitanya's mother and wife after the Lord took sannyas. He was a disciplic descendant in a line coming from Jahnavi Devi, the wife of Lord Nityananda. The Thakur had written at the end of Srimad Bhagavatarka Marichi Mala, 'My exalted spiritual master Vipin Vihari Prabhu is a brilliant moon in the family of Sri Vamsi Vadanananda.' At the end of the Thakura's commentary on Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he wrote, 'The eminent Vipin Vihari Prabhu, who is the manifestation of the transcendental energy of Lord Hari, who sports in the forests of Vraja, has descended in the form of spiritual preceptor seeing me in the dark well of worldly existence, he has delivered his humble servant of his. So he took initiation. Later on he met Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Then he accepted him as Siksha Guru. So the most prominent activity of Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur is discovery of Lord Chaitanya's birthplace. So by actually he was very fed up of government service and family life. Then he wanted to retire and practice Krishna consciousness in a Babaji form. Then Mahaprabhu appeared in his dream, said chanting and hearing can wait, you know, he can do all the, you know, later, but you have a very important task left out, please finish that task. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur understood. Then he, by the will of providence, he got transferred to Krishnanagara only. Then he was in between, you can read this book, very interesting. In between he was falling very sick all the time. Once he was visiting Vrindavan Dham on 3 months yatra. So as soon as he reached Vrindavan Dham, he became very sick with fever and all that. So then he prayed to Radha Shamsundar that, my dear Lord, please spare me this time. I can suffer from fever later on once the yatra is finished. Then next day he became all right. So as soon as his yatra was finished, when he went to Jessore, he became very sick. You know, then like that. So all the while he was very sick throughout his life. He was falling very sick, fever and this, that, and all that. So then he took sick leave and he went to Navadvip, Mayapur. Then he stayed in Drani Dharmashala. So there he was sitting along with his one servant and his son. Then he saw one very great effulgent light coming from Rani Dharmashala. He was, you know, from far. Then he understood that this must be the place of Lord Chaitanya's birth. Then he took the maps and all. Then he studied Bhakti Ratnakara and other literatures. And when he went to Navadvip, they were all saying this is actually birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. But some of the residents of Navadvip, they told him that Navadvip is a recent establishment. You know, some of the residents, they said, last 100 years only this Navadvip city was formed. Then he was very convinced that this Mayapur only is the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. Then he saw some light coming. Then he understood that there was one tree, you know. Then there was Tulsi garden was there. Then he understood that this must be the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. Then in order to confirm it, Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur requested Jagannath Das Babaji at the time, who was living in Vrindavan, you know, and then he brought him here, there. That time he was 120 years old. He was so old, his eyes would always be closed. And if he wanted to see, then somebody has to lift his eyelids, like that. He was so old. But when Mahaprabhu brought him, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur brought him to this place, then immediately he jumped out. And this is the Nimai Janmasthan. This is Nimai Janmasthan. He started shouting. You know? So like that, then that was his greatest contribution to the mankind. You know, just like Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, relocated all the places, all the places they found out of Krishna's pastimes. Like that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he actually was instrumental in finding out the Lord Chaitanya's birthplace and all other pastimes places. Then he wrote a book, Navadvip Mahatmya. You know, then Shishir Kumar Bhattacharya, Shishir Kumar Ghosh, he was actually founder and editor of Amrit Bajar Patrika, is a famous newspaper in Calcutta. So he was tutored under Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur tutored him, you know. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur was writing many articles in Amrit Bajar Patrika. Then later on he stopped being writing because Shishir Kumar Ghosh, he got into mundane thinking of, you know, about Krishna and all that. Then he did not want to associate with them. Then Raja Raman Roy also, that time he was very famous, Brahmo, you know. Then Raja Raman Roy, he was doing all this, he rejected Vedas and all. Then he was propagating, he was against Sati, and all that. Then Brahma Sam, like that. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur opposed very strongly. And this Thakur, Rabindranath Tagore's brother, Vijendranath Tagore. He was a very close friend of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And all these Tagores, they were followers of Raja Ramon Roy. So later on, Bhaktivinoda Thakur opposed very strongly. And slowly, slowly, he manifested of being a pure devotee and Nitya Siddha. And then he wrote many books, you know, Kalyan Kalpataru and all that, Sharana, you know, Sharana, all this, what is that, all these books. And then Harinam Chintamani, so many books he wrote. Then slowly, slowly, you know, then later on, you know, he settled down. Sometime in Puri, there is Bhakti Bhavan, where our temple is there now. Yeah. There he used to do bhajan. Then later on, he was doing bhajan in Godrum Dvipa, Swananda, you know, bhajan kutir. So all his places, they were still there. They are still there. Right? So later on, when he saw that, he was unable to finish his mission of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. He prayed to Lord Jagannath that, you know, please send me a son who can actually continue to spread Krishna consciousness mission all over the world. So as a prayer, as an answer to his prayer, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was born. And he was known as a ray of Vishnu. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur trained Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur right from the childhood in printing of the books, composing, you know, handling, you know, printing machines and all that. And then he taught him to be a, you know, Naistika Brahmachari. Right? That's how so this movement has spread. And finally, in 1914, he left his this material world to join the eternal pastimes of Sri Sri Radha Krishna. Like that. So he himself wrote in one of his books that he is Kamal Manjari, his eternal Swarupa was Kamal Manjari, who is an associate.